Good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show on talk808.com. Thank you for listening in, and we're starting over. We had a glitch here, so just walk you through it. We're not pretending to do anything. It's, I guess, once in a while, as with anything, when the computer, the server sits here, it loads up in many functions and playing the music, and I guess you just have to reboot once in a while. It seemed to be the simple solution. But anyway, been a good year. Last year was good. 2018, we'll wave goodbye to it. But some of the problems that existed during that time and come follow us into the 2019. So it's all good, and we're willing to continue to watch and keep an eye on things. So let's talk about our governor, Mr. David Ige. Now, most people say that, and I too have an high opinion of him as a person, as a senator, and haven't really dealt with him per se, but I've watched him in some of the issues he's voted on and what have you. But I don't know if he was prepared for this job, or you don't need to be prepared for this job as governor if you are the kind who delegate or have a crew to pick people, and then based on politics or chatter from various segments of the community, to appoint this guy, to appoint that guy. And more specifically, two agencies that are tasked with some very serious and important jobs, and that's the Department of Land and Natural Resources. Actually, we'll say three: the Department of Agriculture and the Department of Health. Now, the governor he appointed Suzanne Case for governor, chairperson of the Department of Land and Natural Resources. And she's been there for a while. Now, lay it out for you. The governor on December 27, 2018, wrote a letter saying that, "Aloha, I'm pleased to inform you that I am reappointing Chair Suzanne Case and First Deputy Bob Masuda to lead the Department of Land and Natural Resources. Both appointments are subject to confirmation by the Senate." And I think that's where we come in. I think I would like to be on record as opposing Ms. Case for many reasons. But one, she has more of a corporatization and get what she can and bring her friends and the private entities into government and siphon all of the goods and the monies and the resources and divert them to pet projects that she has over the years wanted to work on, and that she know that there's millions of dollars involved in grants and budget set aside by the legislators with the intended use by the DLNR. And the DLNR is not to be taken lightly, my friend. You know, the historical preservation is found under that. Water resources housed under the Department of Land and Natural Resources. Parks and Recreation, burial, SHPTI, State Historical Preservation. Fishing, fisheries, forestry, and boating. So a humongous task, and politics seems to have crept in it and has a residency inside of the Suzanne Case Department of Land and Natural Resources Administration. So what caught my eye with the governor's reappointment, it goes on to say the letter, "The health and well-being of natural resources are in good hands with this team." And I tend to disagree with that, not because I disagree, but because I've been presented with a number of situations and circumstances and privy to certain information that not only do they not contribute to the well-being, it's they contribute and has manufactured a dysfunctional agency called the DLNR. Their commitment to the people, place, and culture of Hawaii will carry us forward to an increasingly sustainable future. Your role in this process is crucial, and I ask that you continue to work with them to improve the way we deliver services to the public. As we start this second term, I want you to know how much I appreciate your diligent work. Together, we can continue to do great things. And I'm trying to finger just one great thing. Let's take the Big Island Dairy, for example. Now, what does Mr. Ige, the Governor Ige, have to do with the Big Island Dairy? Well, you know, we use that, toss that word around sustainable. And sustainable farming and sustainable this and homegrown and local grown and milk that'll be produced here in the state. But under this watch, the Department of Health, who is tasked with enforcing and regulating this kind of industry or this practices of animal husbandry per se, from the Clean Water Act, the wastewater activities, safe drinking water. So in Ōkala, little town, little village, we'll call it, on the Hamakua coast, the Big Island Dairy is situated there. Now, the governor declared a emergency declaration and back in August. And so the Big Island Dairy has lots of wastewater contained in ponds, and it has had difficulties with releasing and the application of this, quote, wastewater for irrigation purposes as well. But even though the wastewater is supposed to be dealt with in a proper way and not allowed to flow into the streams, the Department of Health has allowed this to happen in a couple of instances. So this declaration, some 5 or 6 million gallons, it's estimated, or probably more, that a 6 million gallon of water, wastewater, is brought in and pumped into, it's generated by the operations of the dairy. And they declare that this is an emergency. So the Big Island Dairy went ahead and dumped or released because, as they say, suggesting that it might, they did it because they might be a threat to the ponds may break or overflow. But they've had this requirement in the regulations demanding or requiring them to manage this wastewater so that the water does not get into the environment. Now, they agreed that they could take the water and authorize them to use the wastewater and spray it over the fields to irrigate grass that would be grown for the feeding of the cattle and the pasturing of cattle. But the problem is, when they would spray it, the percolation rate was not fast enough because it rains up there and the grounds are generally saturated anyway in many instances. And then what happens is that the wastewater is sprayed. And we've talked about that. It's sprayed by a sprinkler, we'll call it, a humongous sprinkler head. And it runs off into the gulch, into the gullies, and into the ocean. Now, originally the people complained about it. They went over there. The health department picked on it, looked at it, investigated it, but didn't take any real action, per se, finding anything. Then they find them. Then they recently fined them a $91,000 fine for wastewater. But they were allowed to dump and release and allow, intentionally allow it to flow, this 5 to 6, 7 million gallons. We don't know the exact amount because, again, speaking to transparency, the dairy is supposed to close, has announced that it would possibly close or sell. If that's the case, what then do they need to irrigate anything and spray anything if they're shutting down? This is allowed by the IGE administration. So the dairy has said, we're going to shut down. And they still have cattle there. And so if they're shutting down by May of next year, why do they need to grow any more food, use what they got and use the imported food that they bring in or what have you? Why do they need to continue to irrigate these fields if they're closing down? Well, there is several violations there, and they've paid money for the violations or have been fined, I should say, because we don't know if they contested the case. The transparency is almost zero because what happened under the IGE's sustainable mentality, even though the wastewater branch under the Department of Health is supposed to be managing and taking closure plans and disposal of the water, what has happened, they've assigned that in-house over to the Clean Water branch. So basically, we've asked for records from the wastewater branch and its involvement and it's what it's dictating to the others. And we can't find anything. Not a single document has been produced at our request, for official requests, I should say, from the wastewater branch. We have to wade through and discover as we ask that the wastewater branch is no longer handling that. We've been told to hand all of that over to the Clean Water branch. But $91,000 is a recent fine assessed. That's really cheap for doing business. And so I don't know what it is that we have with the sustainable farming and whatever. And I'm jumping around because I got 15 things I'm trying to sort through as I'm talking to you. But so that's the dairy, and that's under the IGE. Now, they also gave, under the IGE administration, initially there was going to be a milk, and we're trying to find out the background on that. Keep in mind, we're talking about transparency here and the lack thereof. So when I'm sitting here talking to you, there are some facts that exist, but they are missing because they're not making them available. If you are one of the TV stations have actually requested documentation on the purchase or the funding of a milk processing plant that would be sited on this facility. It supposedly was going to be funded through bonds or something by the state. Well, we can't get any information on that. Foot drag. Okay. So you got that, and I'm just skirting around it because there's so many substantial missteps here. And what's going to happen with waste in that facility when they close, if they do close as they promised or stated or suggested? That's the dairy now. We haven't had one peek, one word from the Department of Land and Natural Resources on this particular issue, and it involves the potential take and destruction of marine life. I know the Clean Water Act is enforced by the state health department, Clean Water Branch. But again, the take of certain species and the impacts and what have you is regulated by the state Department of Land and Natural Resources. Don't care. We don't see any action. And I very seriously doubt if a single law enforcement or game warden has even ever been by there to dairy to look at it, to see or follow up on the impacts, or even received a report. So we got that. This is hands off. This is the IGE sustainable development of our natural resources and the impacts and whatever. So let's take Hawaii Kai. Recently in the news, there's a boat ramp. This is under boating. Suzanne Case. Great person. As the governor says, they've got a great team, the A team. And the boat ramp there is broken. Now, how do you suppose that it would arrive at the doorsteps of the DLNR that it's broken and it's the only one on that side of the island, and used heavily? How did it get broken? Were there some plans ahead of time? Didn't they make an assessment? Again, that's the way it is. On Kauai, on the Suzanne Case, boating and recreation. We just saw that the Ethics Commission found that one individual was manipulating the contracts and or finances or jobs and fined and what have you. That was under Suzanne Case and Matsuda. Let's go and talk about Kaneohe Marine Base. The agreement between the DLNR to house one boat, two jet skis, on a memorandum of agreement to allow the DLNR to do its job effectively in the Kaneohe Bay and being able to have a place to launch from to respond timely and do patrols or what have you. And one of the officers decides to get creative and invite another company, iWaterman and others, to the base under the Department of Land and Natural Resources authorized agreement between the military. And they proceeded to make money, conduct a commercial operation. Now, the general public can't drive or traverse through that on jet skis, because naturally there's coral reef concerns and it's a management area and people are recreating in other ways and swimming. And you're not allowed to do what they were doing. But they were allowed to do it. And when we brought it to their attention and investigated it, under the Suzanne Case administration, appointed by Governor Ige, they covered it up. No consequences, No punishment. Nothing. Rogues on the loose. When you're converting public property for your commercial use or using whatever that belongs to the public, and you're trusted and entrusted with the patrol and the entry and what have you, you don't have a right to invite others as part of your pass at the formal agreement. And we're still looking at that. Under the David Ige administration, under the watchful eyes of Suzanne Case in the directorship, there's an interesting situation still, I'm hoping, but I've come to learn that the things that we bring to Suzanne Case and her administration, as appointed by David Ige, is to cover up, is to treat anything that we bring to them as and ignore it and blow it off. Now, there's an interesting situation that we talked about on this show last year, where in order to manage and be efficient in the hours and the coverage and patrols and for wildlife and protecting the protected species and what have you, the game wardens, we'll call them game wardens or conservation officers, they are required, the trucks that they have now, they've purchased trucks, the state DLNR purchased trucks, and had installed GPS systems. The GPS systems are installed in each official vehicle, and that allows managers to know where the officer is in case there was a problem. They could immediately, you know, if the officer was assaulted, if the officer was in the backcountry and something happened to him or what have you, off-road or what have you, anything, it would tell them where, and they could respond and be timely in preventing injury, death, or whatever. Well, it also would guard against abuse of time and abuse of authority and abuse of equipment. So what happens is that some of the officers, at least maybe 7 or 9 of them so far, and we've talked about this, and we have their names and what have you from earlier conversations. The officers, and you got to get this. I mean, it's slick, man, really slick. And this is all under the David Ige sustainable. These people did a good job, and I want you to continue to work with them. And this is a great team. This is the A team. And that you can't approach the A team. If I call them up and it's like, well, there's Carol Cox is on the phone, but he has scurvy and or diphtheria. And so, well, send him away. It's something of that type. They don't want to know, and they don't want you to know, that the men and women that work for them are stealing from us and abusing their authority. Some of them, not all of them. So these officers, at least 7 to 9 of them, goes online and buys and purchase a thing called a scrambler. And this scrambler, you plug it into the cigarette lighter. If you're stupid, you have it hardwired. But anyway, these scramblers will say, if I live at point A, I live in Kaneohe, and my patrol district is Kaneohe, but I want to use my car to transport my children to school at Kamehameha Schools or wherever. My official truck or car, because I don't want to spend the gas, and I want to drop my wife off to work. So what I do is I buy me a scrambler, and then I install the scrambler, and it'll show that I'm within my district, no problem. It won't show that I'm driving on the other side of the island on a daily, on a routine, daily. And that I'm abusing my gas privileges and my gas and my credit card privileges or anything like that. And how many thousands or over the years millions of dollars have been squandered? And this scrambler says that, oh yeah, been working right here. Or just to give you an idea now, it could show that while he's in Kaneohe, it may just scramble and show a glitch and show that he's in Hawaii Kai. Well, it won't show that his truck was just sitting still at the house and he never left home and he went out and worked his second job. So this is the kind of stuff that we have that exists here with this sustainable attempt under the Ige administration. And the well-being of the natural resources. If you have all this pilikia or trashy behavior occurring, is that contributing to the well-being of the natural resources? Right? Well, there's a problem. We move on to... There's possibly, I understand there's possibly a lawsuit coming. And this one involves, under the Suzanne case, approximately 2 years ago or a year and a half ago, during a flotilla, there's an incident. We talked about that on the show. And where they took a gentleman by the name of Wyatt Cam, who was alleging that they seized a boat that he was aboard off Waikiki, pin him down to the floor, put him on his face with his hand behind his back, put their foot on him, this is his allegations, and would not and refused to allow him to use the restroom and made him urinate on himself. They didn't make him, but when you got to go and they won't allow you to relieve yourself in the restroom, they refuse. That's his claim. And transported him and others for about 35 minutes under the mindful and watchful eye of the chief law enforcement person, Mr. Robert Farrell, who was right present there orchestrating this law enforcement action. And what happened was they covered up the incident by conducting an investigation, and the deputy to Robert Farrell, Jason Redula, came out and produced a report that there was no finding. Now, there were officers aboard that vessel that saw this, saw what transpired, what took place. We tried to speak to those officers or at least get them to make a statement. And, you know, they're very coyish, and I understand you've got to protect your job, but if you're wearing a gun and a badge and you see something this egregious and this kind of behavior, you're obligated by law to, first of all, disallow that kind of behavior in your presence and report it, the clear, unmitigated preparation of a report. You need to put it in writing or do something. But in DLNR, that's not the way it happened. One officer, you can imagine, had a open container charge waiting for the officer, had been charged with open containing the car. And so did they get the, did he or she get the, did the officer get special treatment if they didn't tell what they saw aboard that vessel that day? And so I scratch your back, you scratch mine. This is, again, the people that are watching out for the natural resources, guided by Suzanne Case. Now, the Division of Aquatic Resources. Well, let me go back. And we're going to post this up very soon. We're going to post this up and say that what it is, it's involving the cover-up and the attempts by the director, as these officers accuse or state, claim, that their director, the chief of law enforcement, Robert Farrell, this is out of some of their own mouths, that he, and the tape reflects this, a recording. They recorded this during a meeting with Farrell about an incident of workplace violence. And you will hear in this, once we post it up, you will hear that what Farrell took with about an hour, 15, 20 minutes to discourage these officers from filing a workplace violence complaint. Once again, it's about the resources, the natural resources, protecting them, but apparently they've missed the memo and it's about protecting one's old coley or butt. So that's that, without going any further details on that. And so the agencies that have the greater role in this, the Department of Land and Natural Resources, and talking about our natural resources and protecting them, the governor allowed Suzanne Case to appoint Bruce Anderson, Dr. Bruce Anderson, to the Aquatics Division, to head the Aquatics Division. And it is alleged, and we've reported, that it was about something to do with retirement as a favor. Well, when Dr. Pressler at the Health Department left, the governor then assigned or appointed, or I don't know how, what it would be called, Dr. Bruce Anderson to the Health Department, to head the Health Department, leaving the Aquatics Division chief role absent or vacant with acting. And it is also alleged that it would be that Anderson would be able to return back after in November, but apparently that is not the case now. Things could change. He is now heading the Health Department. Now, why would you, when you talk about the health and well-being, these are quotes from this letter, that the health and well-being, why not have permanency to the appointments and what have you? Don't have those. And why not? How can you get well-being and the health and welfare of the natural resources if you have a ragtag team tolerating this kind of behavior, and you take Dobar? And the other thing is, let's speak to something the governor is very, I think it's one of the most distasteful, despicable acts there is. Remember there was this rule being tossed around about prohibiting the feeding of cats, feral cats, and around boating harbors and what have you, and they wanted, so they decided to pass this bill, and then they decided to wait, and the bill was passed by the Land and Natural Resources Board, I think. And it just waited. The governor wouldn't sign it. But once he became governor again, won the election the second time, voila, he signed the bill prohibiting. Why did he wait? Because did he think that he had to be political in this? He wasn't bold enough to give us or the public his true stance then, rather than wait and take a chance. If he had spoken out or signed that, maybe he thought he'd lose votes, wouldn't win as a win governorship again. Do we need that? What does that suggest about him and his opinion of the general public? What would he think? So, Howell's within the DLNR again. They decided to go and get money from the legislators to do a contract, to do an academy. They've, in fact, graduated a few of them. But now you figure this one, and if you do, please share with me and let me know. Robert Farrell was actually hired as a director, as the chief of law enforcement in DoCare. Robert Farrell was instrumental in putting together and advocating, along with others from Richardson School of Law, and other venues, to create an academy. That's a good thing. But when it comes down to selecting the people to run the academy, to serve as consultants, Robert Farrell then, for some strange reason or some magical reason, his former supervisor, former boss from the California Fish and Game, ended up with a considerable amount of money for contracts and what have you. And Robert Farrell now somehow stepped out. It's still not clear. We get so much gibberish. We say he's still with the Fish and the Department of Land and Natural Resources, but he's not the director, but he's serving in a capacity of what? This is what David Ige leaves. So he leaves the Aquatics Division vacant. He assigns Dr. Bruce Anderson, and many of you will say, well, Dr. Bruce Anderson was actually the chief at one time, headed the health department, and that is true. But what kind of job did he do? What kind of problems did he solve? Nothing magical. So the thing is, it's in such disarray in the way this governor is managing and the people that he's appointed. And if you call in, you're going to be met with great resistance. And the impression that I go away with is that mind your business. Yes, it's government, but it's our business. So you don't have a right to ask questions, and you don't have a right to do anything. And in fact, we're adversaries. Go away. Mind your business, Mr. Cox, and anyone else that they have questions. So you have that. You have the GPS. Now, just taking one instance, one example, the Sand Island State Park is an interesting place. Beautiful park. The infrastructure at one time was beautiful and but there are so many dangers lurking within that park that I believe that a third of it would be closed. And this is under David Ige. And this is just one park. And I know many of you say, well, you know, it costs to run these parks. Yes, it does. No question about that. But that's what you're doing. You're supposed to manage those things. It's you're getting paid. You ran office. You won. You said you could fix them. And so no excuse. So in one instance at Sand Island Park, just give you, you got illegal dumps. Someone's dumping oil and chemicals and plastics and trash and whatever and burying it and digging a hole that's 75 by 8 feet deep to dump and bury trash and oil and grease within the park boundaries. Trees that go unpruned anytime, little wind or rotting, they break, fall down. Threat from overhead. Structures where the children are attracted to play on an old train, assemblage of an old train. The conditions are, you could be speared by the railings or the rust or the falling and breaking and the cracking of the cement. And I mean, these are dangerously positioned and beckoning for kids to come and play. Termite-eaten logs and overhead. Nothing. People living and sleeping or vacationing or recreating, sitting under these for shelter. There's an old military structure where the footing and the structure itself, the columns are cracking and spalling asphalt or cement. You wouldn't want to stand. It makes you nervous to just stand there. You see the gaping cracks just run up and down the columns. You know it's going to give because of the energy being exerted on those. People sit there under there fishing and what have you. Not a single warning or anything. Hopefully, we get some attention to it before someone is killed or harmed in that. So how long will it take? We're going to have another 4 years? Is it going to be 4 years of Suzanne Case? Or will the legislators do anything about it and say no to her? And I believe Suzanne Case, as we've brought to floor here many times, she's trying to privatize, to insert private individuals to serve her agenda or her former organizations and what have you. There's a group or a hui of organizations that would love to have their hands and their fistful of dollars out of the public coffers. How do you do that? Well, you get appointed by David Ige, and David Ige is not going to hold anyone accountable, as he has not. And he's not receptive to complaints, and he don't respond to complaints. So basically, laissez-faire. Hands off. This is my government. I was voted in as governor, so therefore, mind your business. That's the message we go away with. So those are just a few things, and we're hoping that the DLNR, the Department of Health, the Agriculture Department, come up with something that resembles integrity, that resembles transparency, that will afford us an opportunity to see how the protection of this and the well-being of our natural resources. Anyway, I'm going to take a break, and we'll be back. This is the Carol Cox Show on Talk808.com. Thank you for joining in, and we apologize for the earlier glitch, but we'll be back. Aloha.